The foundational story of our people, writes Rabbi Sheffa Gold in her book Torah Journeys, is the story of leaving Egypt, going from slavery to freedom. This journey home is the story of consciousness evolving from narrowness and separation to expansion and awareness of its identity with the One. This is our story. The story of each of us, the liberation of our awareness from narrowness to expanded consciousness. In the book of Genesis that we just finished reading, we learned how we got into this place of narrowness, Mitzrayim, and enslavement. And now in the book of Exodus, we'll read the story of our liberation. And Rabbi Sheffa Gold reminds us, this is the story of our journey from slavery to redemption that each of us must make every day in order to experience the freedom and expanded consciousness that is our true inheritance. So it occurred to me, thinking about this journey we must make each day, that I could put this on my list of things to do each day and then like just write in journey from slavery to redemption. And then at the end of the day, I could decide whether I could check off that box. Have I journeyed from slavery to redemption today? And of course, this pressure to achieve a goal or check off a box is completely at odds with all of our teachings on expanded awareness. Nevertheless, I'm hoping that in our discussion, we can reflect on ways we might support each other in this daily journey. So as we read the first two chapters of the book of Exodus, we hear that our journey of liberation began only after we cried out. A long time after the Pharaoh who had adopted Moses died, and after many years of harsh labor, the Israelites were groaning under bondage and cried out. And their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham. God remembered God's covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites and took notice of them. This passage reminds us that the people had to first recognize their enslavement and cry out before they could get any help with liberation. And Rabbi Gold points out that each of us also has to become aware of what enslaves us in order to begin our own journey of liberation and connection to a more expansive awareness. One might wonder, how could the Israelites not know that they were enslaved? But enslavement can creep up on you. You may work for a good boss, you don't mind working hard, you get a lot of recognition and benefits from your employer's positive opinion of you. Depending on where you work, it could be a prestigious company or university or a well-known nonprofit, you may get other benefits. When people ask you where you work, they're impressed and they want to hear more. So what if you have to work hard? But then the good boss retires, your job is redesigned, and it gets harder, but you still love your colleagues. And then bit by bit, you find yourself more and more ground down by the job, and it never seems bad enough to quit, to give up all those perks that enslave you until one day you recognize your enslavement. It could be a job or a marriage or a commitment to a family member you're helping, but suddenly you realize that the demands being made are out of proportion to the experience of satisfaction in your work or the sense of the work aligning with your values. And you have made too many compromises. And you have to become aware of this and cry out, name it, in order to begin the journey to liberation and connection with awareness. I'm just going to check the chats in case there's anything critical in here for me to know.
No, there's not, Bobby.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So, it seems that in addition to crying out, We also have to wander in the wilderness for a certain amount of time. Stories of liberation seem to involve leaving one's customary surroundings in order to turn one's full awareness to each moment as it evolves. Abraham is recovering from circumcision and sitting at the opening of his tent, looking out when the angel appears to him. Jacob has the dream of the ladder after he flees from his home and falls asleep on his journey. Moses, raised in the palace, had to leave the palace to start his journey that led to the liberation of the Israelites. In a story that has many parallels to the story of the Buddha's path to awakening, Moses left the palace one day, just like the Buddha, and saw something that changed the course of his life and launched a spiritual movement. He went out to his kinsfolk, witnessed their labors. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his kinsmen. Thinking no one would see, he struck down the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. But the word got out, and Pharaoh sought to kill him. So Moses had to flee from the palace now that he had discovered that the values of Pharaoh's court did not align with his value of compassion for his kin. Gautama Buddha, also raised as royalty, also went out of the palace one day. And though his father, the king, had conspired to protect him from human suffering, there it was suddenly right before him. He saw an old person, a sick person, and a corpse. And he knew that he had to set off on a journey to understand why aging, illness, and death were the cause of such terrible suffering. As an aside, it's interesting that so much of Jewish tradition, at least as we experience it today, centers on social justice and freedom from oppression by political and authoritarian forces, while the path of the Buddha focuses on freedom from psychological suffering, from the psychological enslavement that comes from our attachment to impermanent things like youth, health, and being alive, and are wanting all these things to be permanent. The paths of Buddha and Moses seem to be determined by what they saw when they left the comfort of the palace. On the one hand, slavery and injustice, and on the other, aging, illness, and death. And Moses, like many Jews of our generation, did not learn how to connect with God from his own family traditions, like many of us. He wandered off and found a teacher of a different faith, Yitro, the father of his wife, Zipporah. Years after leaving his royal home and serving as a shepherd rather than a prince, he's finally able to bring full awareness to the miracle of life unfolding before him. The Torah reads, "Now Moses, tending the flock of his father-in-law, Yitro, the priest of Midian, drove the flock into the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire out of a bush. He gazed, and there was a bush all aflame, yet the bush was not consumed. Moses said, 'I must turn aside to look at this marvelous sign. Why doesn't the bush burn up?' Then the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses,' and Moses answered, 'Hineni, here I am.' Only when Moses is able to pause, turning aside from his shepherding agenda and taking note of something unusual with full awareness, is he called to serve as a prophet, as a channel for expanded awareness. Moses is able to connect with God consciousness, which we could describe as expanded awareness, not narrowly focused on the objects of our awareness, our thoughts, worries, fears, grievances, and longings. But Moses is allowing his mind to rest in awareness without an agenda. And for Moses and Buddha, what is this expanded awareness, this connection to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh or enlightenment, that is represented in so many ways across different ancient wisdom practices? So this awakening is a nonverbal experience, so we can never describe it adequately in words. That's why the Zen saying, don't mistake the thinker pointing at the moon for the moon, reminds us that we just have instructions to create conditions for this expanded awareness. So it's up to each of us to find our own way of understanding it. We'll have the opportunity in a few more weeks to talk about the re-experiencing of revelation that we all have every year when we come to the portion called Yitro, when Moses receives Torah at Mount Sinai. And I was fascinated to learn that in a history of the Buddha written by a 13th century Chinese disciple of Dogen, whose name is Kaizan, the Buddha said, at the time of enlightenment, I was, am, and will be enlightened with the whole world. Does this sound familiar? I was, am, and will be. Ehye asher ehye, what Moses heard at the burning bush. In a beautiful metaphor, another description in this Chinese biography of the Buddha is that just as a fishing net, when it's pulled up, is pulled up in a whole piece, everything in the fishing net comes up, that when the Buddha was awakened, all of us, the whole cosmos and all beings, were also pulled up in the net. We were all, everyone who ever was and will be, were pulled up. Just as in our Torah reading at Mount Sinai, it says, all of you who are here and not here today. So other traditions share this sense of awakening has been given to us for all times. In our meditation practice, we're given the instruction to rest in awareness, to have no agenda of anything at all, of working anything out. At the same time, we're instructed to follow the breath or count the breaths or attune to the sensations of the breathing body. But we use these instructions only to help steady the mind. And if the counting or the attention to the breathing body falls away and we're just resting in silent awareness, that's fine. When we notice that instead we're planning a trip or having a dialogue with someone or with ourselves, then we can return to the breath or whatever we use to steady the mind. But why do we have no agenda? Usually, we need to have an agenda to get through our day. We also had to have an agenda so we could all meet at the same time here. But once we create the conditions for what another Chinese teacher calls silent illumination, and we create these conditions by getting to our seat, sit, settling the body, and using the condition of silence as a way to open our awareness to whatever might arise. Or as Kathy Fisher described in a recent talk, any agenda we have will limit the scope of our awareness and rob us of the full breadth and depth of sensing and experiencing the unfolding of reality in each moment. This phrase, the unfolding of reality in each moment, is one of the ways that our teacher, Rabbi Jeff Roth, translates the mysterious four letters, Yud Hey Vav Hey, the mysterious answer to the question that Moses asks at the burning bush. When I come to the Israelites and they ask me, what is the name of the one who sent me? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, Ehye asher ehye, I will be what I will be. I am not something that can be named, but only experienced in the unfolding of reality in each moment. So what keeps us from becoming aware, from being liberated? So I'm excited to have the opportunity next week to explore this in more detail from the wisdom teaching of next week's Torah reading, Va'era, as well as from some other fundamental Buddhist teachings. But I'll pause now to make sure we can reflect on this rich parable of enslavement and liberation.